This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Cunard.
I'm Steve Kathan. There's breaking news from the White House, the appointment of a new press secretary. We're live in Washington with CBS's Bill Rakoff.
In a tweet, First Lady Melania Trump announced that her press secretary, Stephanie Grisham, will move from the East Wing to the West Wing to succeed the outgoing Sarah Sanders. According to the First Lady's tweet, Grisham will also serve as communications director. Before serving the First Lady, Grisham served as a deputy to former White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer, and she has served as an informal traveling press secretary for the president. Steve?
Well, leaders in Washington and Tehran are letting loose with no sign that a deepening divide is narrowing. CBS's Katherine Johnson.
Iranian President Hassan Rouhani is lashing out at President Trump, calling the new U.S. sanctions outrageous and idiotic. President Trump tweeted, Iran's very ignorant and insulting statement put out today only shows that they do not understand reality. Any attack by Iran on anything American will be met with great and overwhelming force. The latest sanctions signed by the president target Iran's supreme leader and eight Iranian military commanders. A spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry says the measure equals a permanent closure for diplomacy.
Well, the House is poised to vote today on a bill that would send more than $4 billion in aid to deal with humanitarian issues at the southern border. Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We have to have a country where every child knows that they are in their parents' arms, literally or figuratively. We are the arms of these children in terms of this appropriation is concerned. We want them to feel that comfort.
Illinois has become the 11th state to legalize recreational marijuana. The law signed today allows residents to have up to 1 ounce of pot at a time. At a camp along the Ohio River in southern Indiana, a tree fell, killing a Girl Scout and leaving three others hurt. Robbie Lambert, State Police.
Yesterday was an absolute tragedy. It's every parent's worst nightmare. The only way that I can describe it is just a tragedy.
Critics are sounding off overseas about some renovation work.
The palace has revealed that renovating Harry and Meghan's new home in the grounds of Windsor Castle cost the British taxpayer some $3 million.
It's just picking on Meghan.
Vlogger ZZ Mills smells snobbery and racism in the coverage. Yes and no, says Daily Mirror editor Kevin Maguire.
I think there's been racism and snobbery involved, but not when it comes to the expenditure of such a large amount of money on a home for a couple like this.
Palace officials note the house needed complete rewiring and all new heating and plumbing, and say Harry and Meghan paid for all the fixtures and furniture themselves. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
This is CBS News.
Sail on the best and most luxurious cruise in Alaska aboard Cunard's Queen Elizabeth. Contact your travel advisor or visit cunard.com/Alaska.
It was boring. People were sleeping. Nobody enjoyed it. There was no good feeling.
3, 2, 1.
I'm busy.
Regis Philbin. What I've been Omaha, Nebraska. I listened to Chad.
What is wrong with you?
Morons, incompetent morons, these people are
beefy.
Absolutely friggin' sick.
I forgot to look for one sick puppies.
What?
Yeah, I got busy with news. I did. You know, there's a lot of news hopping today.
There is. Is that what news does? Does news
breaks.
Hop? Okay, let's go around the room. I get to go first, my game. When you think of hops, you think of, I'll go bunny. Dan Cook, you're next.
Isn't that the term for a great vertical?
Hops, excellent. Hops. Adam Carter?
You know where I'm going.
Yeah, beer.
IPA.
Hops. He had a show on WCC Radio at night.
Hops House.
Yeah. It was just fantastic. Dan Cook. Hops.
Roy Hops, wasn't that the player?
Roy Hops. I loved him in The Natural. Adam Carter. Hops.
I'm done.
I'm done. You're out. You're out. That's the game. Let's go. Paul and Jordana are next. A bevy of guests for you. Adam Carter literally is losing weight right now as he's drinking his coffee. Did you see that study? We had another coffee study now. If you drink up to 4 cups of coffee, it does something to your brown fat. It reduces your brown fat.
It ain't been working for me.
Maybe go to, well, and you got your big fancy la-di-da.
Well, la-di-da.
Breck cup. You know, most of us, you know, Intercom cups. And then half of us here don't clean the Intercom cups. And I'm thinking you're maybe a suspect.
No, I clean my cup all the time.
Shannon, I'm encouraging you God, I'm not going there.
Dan, can you pass this over to the young gentleman over there? Gift wrapped for you, too.
Had a Coke, too.
Really?
I figured you weren't going to come through ever.
Jeez.
And so, hold on. It's a Christmas gift to me. Nice wrapping, by the way. I mean, Dan, what do you think of this wrapping?
It could be a little last minute, but
it's today.
What am I supposed to do? Wrap it like a legitimately wrap it?
Well, you did. So, I mean, it's a Pioneer Press. You're one of like 7 people. Well, I mean, I wish all my friends of the Pioneer Press luck. But
that is the sports page, so open it delicately. Your father would like to read that when he comes in.
He does. He does.
Where's the Pioneer Press?
Or he'll, if I have like the trib,
yeah,
and I'm using it for some notes, he'll just take it from me. You know. What is this? This does not look like a Pepsi. I'm a little worried if it's a Pepsi. Is this Tab?
It's a Tab.
It's a Tab.
I didn't know they still sold Tab.
I was going to say.
I was like, oh, there's a Tab. I got to buy that. It was the last one, the last Tab.
I've worked with you for 10 years. This is the most effort you've put into anything to track down a Tab.
Jeez.
How many stores?
I think that would have qualified me trying to get tickets back from you. That's the most effort I've ever put into
it. Well, you sent it to me in a mysterious location.
Yeah. I tried to hide them from you.
I had to spend 90 minutes.
2 hours to go before the concert.
I had to spend 90 minutes with Ticketmaster and one person. And not friendly. You know what they said, Ticketmaster?
You're better than that?
No, you know what they said? It's too bad you need us. I mean, honestly, what are you going to do without us? Oh, there's the Pepsi.
Can I throw it to you, please?
Well, I'll catch.
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Very nice.
Well, I want to try that Tab, see if I remember what it tastes like.
Should we compare? Well, no, I can't have the Pepsi right after the Coke. Yeah. Most of my. I'm not sure. This is, again, my father, his way of raising me. 12-pack of Pepsi, white bread, and brought me to every sporting event and just put me in the clubhouse and did his job. I drink too much pop. I don't drink that much. I can't tell you the last time I had more than one pop in a day. Are you much of a – you'll have
I cut way back from where I used to be. But, no, I mean, if it's more than one in a day, that's a rarity.
Yeah. Pop, is there anything redeeming about pop outside of its taste?
No, I mean, it tastes good. That's the only reason. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just complete junk.
It's horrible for you. Jake Odorizzi. Jake Odorizzi is at 12:35. A man who has won 6 more majors than me, Nick Faldo, is at 1:15. A person who has won 6 fewer majors than Nick Faldo, Jamie Ukis, is at 1:35. And the Santa Anita story, the meat is done. 30 horses are dead. Yeah, Santa Anita is done for the year. 30 horses.
I was worried where you're going with the meat comment. Like what?
You're a sick person. Sick puppy. You think Kurt Beck.
Hey, Mike.
That's where the sound effect would have been really good right there.
Beckman did not think that way, you know? But he also didn't come up with a Tab, so that's kudos. What's going on with Santa Anita? The president, another threat. Is this a bluff? Are we headed to war? How are you taking in his latest comments? What happened to the appropriate response? We know what happened. The latest with the U.S. and Iran and how serious it is, and then the byplay back and forth. Let's jump on in, but it is a busy local day. No matter the president, the relationship between the United States and Iran would be very, very difficult. Clearly, 45 took a very different approach than 44. Donald Trump was highly critical of Barack Obama's deal with Iran on the large payments, on the monitoring, and campaign on it. And to the surprise of no one, he said, we're out of the Iran deal. Much of the rest of the planet still in. with the Iran nuclear deal, and we know what's happened of late with what was taking place with the tankers, with the video, where it clearly looked like these were members of the Iranian Guard coming back to one of the tankers. Then it escalated dramatically with the drone shot down, the debate on whether the drone was shot down over a neutral territory or over territory of the Iranian, of the country. Then the idea that we were extraordinarily close to a response back, a forceful military response. The president's explanation, and I'll just phrase it as the president's explanation, and yes, I think I'll speak for the three of us. The president, at least in the belief of the three of us, has very little credibility. I want to believe in my commander-in-chief. I truly want to. There are just a lot of people military-wise who are a little skeptical on the TikTok, the way he explained it. But in the end, by the way, he absolutely is the one who, for whatever reason, maybe it's the rarity he's telling the truth, where he had to say yes or no. But his explanation was the generals told him at the last moment 150 people would be killed, and he felt like that was not an appropriate response. Then we come out with the sanctions directed at the supreme leader and others. Differing views on that, some people believing it would hurt, others believing it's more symbolic. Iran responding with the R word. And then the president coming back with the tweets in the last hour and a half or so. Iran leadership doesn't understand the words nice or compassion. They never have. Sadly, the thing they do understand is strength and power. And the U.S. is by far the most powerful military force in the world, with $1.5 trillion invested over the last 2 years alone. The wonderful Iranian people are suffering and for no reason at all. Their leadership spends all of its money on terror and little on anything else. The U.S. has not forgotten Iran's use of IEDs and EFPs, which killed 2,000 Americans and wounded many more. Iran's very ignorant and insulting statement put out today only shows they do not understand reality. Any attack by Iran or anything American would be met with great and overwhelming force. In some areas, overwhelming will mean obliteration. No more John Kerry, no more Obama. There is a huge split. Now, the country, I was intrigued by the polling which came out after the decision to not respond, at least at that time, militarily. It is clear from multiple reports that a cyber attack did take place and a strong, forceful cyber attack did take place. But regarding on the decision to not respond militarily, this was post-drones, but pre the latest escalation, 65% in a new poll supported the president's decision to call off a retaliatory strike. Pollsters found that 76% of Republicans supported the president's decision compared to 62% of Democrats. By the way, Adam, I'm just going to ask you a question. If Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton would have been that close to a response and then made the decision to pull back, do you think the numbers would be 76% of Republicans would be supporting President Hillary Rodham Clinton? I'm just thinking the numbers might have been just a little bit short of that. So this is an incredibly difficult situation. This is not an easy situation. But the president, as is his norm, is full of bluster and is full of talk, and he is facing plenty of pressure from all sides on this particular issue. To the shock of no one, Lindsey Graham wants us to respond. I do believe if Senator Graham was the president, as he ran in 2016, Dan and Adam, we probably would be in a war with every other country on the planet. Clearly, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, and others. But the concern is, what happens? Where do we go? What happens next? Some believe that the drone attack by the Iranian government, by the way, it never was a mistake. Why the president said that? I mean, they wanted that escalation. They wanted that conflict. I am not saying here I have all the answers, because I absolutely do not have all the answers. I do know this, though. The president and the constant hyperbolic words and pulling back so often, I don't know what that achieves. And I get it. A lot of people just love force. They love words. They want their president to speak that bluntly, that directly. They don't want nuance. And I'm not encouraging a strike. I am not eager. It is fraught with peril, and this absolutely is a situation they walked into that was complicated. He took a path that, obviously, Barack Obama was going the opposite way. But if you continue to say things like this, and a response does not happen, what credibility is there? And I am not in any way saying, why, you know what I want? For the president's words matter, I want some sort of conflict. Because a conflict in this situation, with this country, with its power, this is fraught with extraordinarily difficult circumstances. So I do want to hear from people on this one. And even Trump supporters. If the president continues to say bold red lines, because wasn't this a red line moment we already had? Where the president said last week, you'll see what happens. And then he backed away. Wasn't that his Barack Obama Syria moment? Or are we going to look at another one here? And again, I don't want this to happen. Who does? But if you keep talking in this unbelievably dramatic, forceful way, and you're the commander in chief, and then you walk it back, at what point do even your supporters say, okay, we've heard this before, let alone the rest of the country? So do you still love these words? You still love this type of dialogue? Is it another complete mixed message? When the president just last week was saying this is not the appropriate response, and then because of words, disgusting words, I might add, words I will never defend, he is now saying you're looking at obliteration again. Can we just keep ping-ponging back and forth, and it doesn't have any effect, not just on our policy with Iran, but all throughout the globe? And anybody who thinks this is easy, or anybody who thinks this would be resolved completely and we would be just all together and having no problems if it was President Clinton, you're delusional. You're every bit the partisan the other side is. So on all these points, I want to hear from Adam, and I want to hear from Dan, and every bit is important. I want to hear from you.
An update on the Trump administration here.
Okay.
The acting U.S. Commissioner of Customs and Border Protection is stepping down, John Sanders announcing that today.
So really?
July 5th will be his last day.
Okay.
Amidst that crisis going on there.
Yeah, so. Exactly. And we had a fantastic guest on yesterday on that topic. At 12:35. So if you want to revisit that on the podcast, WCCRadio.com/chat. On Iran, on the dilemma, on the complication, on the words, obliteration? Really? This isn't just the wacky talk show host. This is the commander in chief. What do you think about all this? 12:23. That is the Lindis Construction Time Check. Time to create a more energy efficient home. With Season Guard Windows, I want you to chime in right now. 651-989-9226. All right, Adam, take all this in, because it is an extraordinarily difficult situation. And to the texter who thinks it was just all about criticizing the president, no, although I'm totally sick of his bluster and everything. But I'll say again, if I think Barack Obama was still president, this thing would be resolved, or it was President Clinton, hell no, I don't think it would resolve. But we can't every time. I'm going to shut the border. I'm going to go round up the migrants. I'm going to do this. I get it. Negotiating isn't easy on these complicated situations. That's why you're the commander in chief. And I don't want, hey, this is the one he's going to live up to it. And that means obliteration. But the guy just changes his view day after day. So, Carter, what do you think?
Well, I mean, you're tired of the bluster, as am I, but that's the way he operates. I mean, this shouldn't surprise anybody. No. And, you know, his supporters say it works, and he says it works. It's not surprising to me. Do I wish we had a commander-in-chief who's a little more, level-headed? Of course, but that's not what we got.
Expecting a strategy from Trump is asking too much. If Trump cured cancer, you'd be complaining that he put the doctors out of work. Good grief. He put himself in a corner, and he cannot get out. Okay, let's take your calls here. Eric is mobile. Eric, you're on WCCO.
Yeah, I was just to say, he would own this decision, and whether, if he does this, there's the entire chance that this thing spirals completely out of control, out of his control.
Yep.
One step leads to another step that he then can't control, and he will have nobody dependent on, because ultimately he's the commander-in-chief, that it will be on him, and he cannot have that. He cannot have something that potentially has the capacity to fail be on his shoulders, and it would be. And he just won't do that, so that leads to a tremendous amount of indecision, which leads to what's happening.
And yeah, it was very defendable last week if he would have made the decision to respond with some force. I mean, you shoot down a drone that our country believes is over neutral territory. Many presidents would have done that. And an explanation of pulling back, I get it. But then to come back again and saying we're going to have some sort of response, but there's not levels of the response, Eric. It's we're going to destroy your whole country.
But that goes to his bloviating, and he does that all the time. He speaks so over the top on everything that you really don't know exactly where he stands, which is not only bad for our enemies, but it also hurts our allies and say, okay, what does he really mean? It puts us in an unwinnable situation.
Thank you, sir. Sam is in Woodbury. Sam, glad you called in. What's on your mind?
Thanks, Chad, for taking the call. I think he did the smart move. I think Trump made the smart move by not reacting. And I wish he would have brought up the other subject that he did something right. He negotiated with Senator Pelosi and gave Congress more time to get their act together and see if they can do something about the ICE situation.
On Speaker Pelosi and the migrant situation, fair. Right? Working with Congress, fair. But, I mean, right now we're talking about Iran, okay? So, and we're talking about specifically the bouncing back and forth and the unbelievable bluster. And if any commander-in-chief, including the president, because he's my commander-in-chief, just like he's yours, keeps saying these over-the-top use of words and force and never responds, doesn't his credibility suffer?
But it's an election year, too. Coming out.
Yeah, but we're not talking election. We're talking about Iran and a country that has power.
He goes into war, then he's not going to have it settled.
Okay, I agree. Then why say if you do something again, anything, we're going to obliterate you? That's what the president said.
I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Chuck, go ahead. You're mobile.
Well, I'd like to say thanks for taking my call. And there's got to be a difference the president should understand between, going back and forth with Pelosi and Schumer, but this is international. And if you're going to make a decision, maybe you should sit back before you open your mouth, no matter who you are, right? I mean, the first thing you should do is sit back, assess the situation, and then come up with a strategy. Now, if the strategy was, okay, we're going to hit him back, well, maybe before you even went that far, you should have taken another day to figure out what you were going to do. Not all the responses have to be immediate. And the idea that really bothers me is the idea of, like you said, about obliteration. We know we could blow the country off the map, but we're never going to do that to those people.
I mean,
you can't blame the people for the regime.
Absolutely. Excellent. And Adam, the last thing, and then we'll get to traffic, and then Jake Odorizzi. If the president pulled back last week because he did not want to harm 150 people who he deemed innocent, he now is going to obliterate the entire country, tens of millions of people, because of the leadership? Tell me how that makes any sense. 33 past 12. We'll get back to this topic because it's enormously important in different times. But in this show, we like to bounce back and forth, including talking about the first place Minnesota Twins, Jake Odorizzi, in a matter of moments.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Twins off day yesterday, back in action tonight, matching up with a very good team, the Rays. Obviously, the Twins heard on this radio station from the Twins, man, having an outstanding first half for the Twins. Starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi is good enough to join us. Jake, thanks for coming on. I appreciate your time. Okay, you get back after a lengthy road trip. You get yesterday off. What is a typical off day for you?
Typical off day is usually running to Target at some point, restock the cabinets, that sort of thing, get stuff for the kids, make sure the house is in working order after that. Just relaxing. We don't try to do too much. And with two kids, when you come back, you tend to run out of things pretty quickly. So try to schedule days to grocery shop and that sort of thing when you have plenty of time to do it.
Are you a reasonable handyman around the house?
Yeah, I think reasonable is a good word. Yeah, I can fix certain things. I don't try to be Mr. Fix on everything, but just little standard things I can take care of.
What is the last thing Jake Odorizzi fixed his place?
I think the last time, I'm trying to think of what I would have done here, we just rent a place, so it's a little more, we're in a condo, so it's a little more cut and dry.
So you just break break stuff and think, hey, it's not mine.
We attempt not to break anything. So thankfully, before this conversation, everything's been up to spec. So yeah. Hopefully between now and the end of the year, it stays that way. But a 3.5-year-old can kind of jump in and do some random things at certain points. So we just try to keep away from the breakables.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Okay, during the road, when you're not pitching, on your off days, now you know you're putting in your work. Do you golf? Because a lot of pitchers love to be starting pitchers, so they can tee it up on the road. What keeps you busy when it's not 2 o'clock or so, and it's get ready to go to the ballpark and put your work in?
Yeah, my golf game has kind of been dialed back with being a dad. Not a whole lot of free. When the free time comes around, it usually isn't spent by myself on a golf course. It's usually spent with them and trying to be a good dad and all that sort of a thing.
But, you're hurting for the rest of us who play golf and have kids. You're not exactly helping us right now.
But it's all right. But you guys aren't gone half the year either. So
yeah, that's
also
true.
A fine room of give and take. You go see them every day, so a little bit different. But typically, we just like to relax. Depending on the city that you're in. Yeah, there's cool things to do. Like last year, we had an off day in Oakland. So you stay in San Francisco. We went and had a tour of Alcatraz.
Oh.
And that's something that I've wanted to do, for a while now. So you kind of look at certain cities and see what would be fun to do. Some guys do golf. My golf clubs, like I said, didn't even make the trip up to Minnesota. They didn't make the cut. So I don't do that. But then typically on an evening, we'll all get a group of guys together, maybe some clubhouse staff, training staff, whoever would want to go, and we go out to dinner somewhere in the city and just have a good time.
A player most likely to get up when the check is about to come that you all notice?
Well, before my time here, I heard Gibby was well known for alligator arming a check.
Really? Oh, that's excellent. Yes.
It may or may not be true, but they love to give him a hard time, and he doesn't do any of that anymore. He's against it, but there's still jokes that are made, so I missed the time of when it would have actually been true.
Let's just go with it, right?
Yeah. Like I said, there's got to be some truth behind it at some point, but back in the day, I think I might have alligator-armed a few checks as well when there was a guy making maybe 20 times more than what I was making at the current time.
Okay, so how often does that happen when you're out, okay, and let's say, well, and you're making good money. Let's say you're the guy. Let's say you're with younger guys and you're with some guys in the clubhouse. Are they all looking at you saying, hey, Jake, I mean, you're paying? Or is it time, hey, okay, we got six of us. Let's divide the check up six ways.
They are under no obligation to even reach for their wallet. A lot of, they all do, but out of respect, the way it's handled is the older guys you take care of it because they took care of you before. So you just pass it forward. And that's how you build a good, you know, a relationship of teaching guys, you know, the ins and outs of, you know, if your time will come, sure. You don't need to pay for anything now. We got this. And there's, you know, three or four of us that we rotated around and take care of things when it comes to that. But yes, nobody that's a younger guy, clubhouse staff, they aren't having a say in the bill. I guess we'll say, we'll put it that way.
1244, Chad Hartman here with you on the home of the Twins. WCCO Jake Odorizzi is with us. Obviously, in total, the first half of your season has been fabulous. The last two starts, not as good. So when you're having this good a run, and then you have the starts, but more the last one than the previous one, do you write that off? Do you work on anything in particular? How much is Vitty related? And how much is you're making sure you're not micromanaging as opposed to relying on the totality of your work?
Yeah, that thing, that's a good way to look at it, is the micromanaging. You know, you have a rough outing. You know, it could have been worse. That's a good way of looking at it, too. But there's no... You just can't panic and, you know, have to go back to the drawing board because you have one bad outing when things are, you know, going really well this season. So the way I look at it is the time in, you know, in Philadelphia, I had a really rough outing, weather, blah, blah, blah. There's lots of stuff. It was horrible, but I didn't feel like I needed to change anything going forward because it was early. I felt good. It was just an off day. And I've been doing the same stuff since that outing. I haven't had to really change much from a approach standpoint, and obviously the results have spoken for themselves. So there's a point of which you have to know what you're doing, and if you have a good feel for it, you just write it off as a weird day. And that was a weird, you know, I think I gave up 8 hits, which is an abnormal thing for how I was going. And like I said, I think I said it in my post game that day. They just beat me that day. For whatever reason, they were better than I was, and we'll see each other again, and we'll go for different results. But I still feel good. The confidence is all there. It's just one game, and over the course of a long season, you're going to have games like that. They're all not going to be you know, shutouts and whatnot. Obviously, things like that have happened quite a bit early on this year, but it's not a – I don't think it's the thing you can go expect to give 0 runs every single time out. Nobody's ever had a 0 for the entire year. So you just get back on and, you know, go about how you've been going about things for the first 2.5-3 months of the season. That's the way I take a look at it.
You guys are 5-5 in your last 10. The Indians are 9-2 in their last 11. So they've gained ground. Your lead is now 7.5 games. Any team in baseball, if they would have been asked, okay, can we spin the clock to June 25th? Would we take a 7.5 game lead? Everybody would have said yes. At the same time, the margin has shrunk. Do you pay attention to that? Or you not even worry about the games until guys like myself ask or until it's later in the year?
Yeah, we don't really worry about it until, say, the year. Being in first is kind of really, you know, what matters. And you have to continue to play at that level to maintain that. And I think you put it a good way of, if you asked players, fans, whoever, at this date, if you're 7.5 up, would you be happy with how the season's going? Yes. But we obviously had a bigger lead than this. And, you know, honestly, we're not playing as great as we were to begin the season with. It's just been we're going to have stretches of not hitting 10 home runs a game and throwing shutouts and that sort of thing. But this is a good test for us of mid-season ball. We're going to have to fight through it. Teams are going to go on runs that are behind us, and we're going to have to play, you know, at our reasonably high level for the entire season. So sometimes a little adversity is good for a team, and, you know, everybody's not going to be clicking at once. That's just the nature of the game. But I really like where we're at. You know, we've had a couple of guys get injured and fought through that. So this team's kind of been through a lot already, and we've been able to maintain our level of playing pretty darn well.
Now, I know I heard a child in the background. Did I also hear a dog in the background?
No, that's just him making noises and, you know, what kids do.
Okay. You're teaching your kid how to bark? I mean, do we need to kind of send the authorities over there, Jake? Is there...
He's watching a show, and I think he's growling at the show because they were growling on the show.
Oh, that's fair. Like, what show is the child watching right now?
We were watching Paw Patrol earlier.
Oh, Paw Patrol. Rock solid. Rock solid.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say you're still pitching in Tampa, and this year it started where you would open the season in Tampa for 30 games, and then you would play the next 50 in Montreal. How strange would that be?
I you know, I was really kind of taken back by it when I read it. The mindset behind it, this and that. I think personally, it would be pretty horrible as a player. It's one thing to, you know, for me in Tampa, like, you know, we live in Tampa in the offseason, so it's still our quote unquote residence. But for majority of everybody else, it would be like living up here. So you'd rent a place in Minnesota, and then we'd have to go play in, you know, Ottawa for another half of the year.
Right.
You'd have to get two apartments, two of everything, move your family twice. You know, what do you do on those sorts of things? And it's, I think it would be just a very, very tough thing on players, on families.
Would the Players Association ever approve that?
That's a great question. I'm not really sure how that would have to be talked about. From what I've seen, it's, you know, far and away from being, you know, in effects, but it's, if it's being talked about, I feel like it's probably talked about on the players' side as sure. of, you know, probably now, but you know, I think it would just be a huge headache, and who knows how it affects, if, you know, it affects players in a negative way, what's their performance going to dictate? So, you know, personally, I'm of the school of, if you have to move more than one, it's like, it would be, here's a good, how you would describe it. It would be getting traded every year at the deadline.
Yeah.
Who would honestly want to be traded?
Yeah.
Every single year at the deadline, I have to find a place to live and
be a big trade. You and 24 other players are traded at the deadline.
Exactly. And then to top it all off, it's not like you're moving to a place in the States. You're moving to a different country.
True.
And there's, you know, getting used to everything up there. It's, you know, Canada's obviously different than the States are when we make trips to Toronto. So that is, it would be a very, very hard sell when it comes to a player side.
Last thing, about 60 seconds to go. We had another incident at Dodger Stadium over the weekend. Another person hit. To me, this is just a no-brainer. I think all stadiums should be changed, and the netting should be all the way down to the foul poles. What do you think?
Right there with you. I think that it needs to go down, you know, even if it's cuts a little bit short of the foul pole, it needs to go majority of down left field line, because the farther you get down the line, the more the ball is coming on a straight line instead of being hooked right into the, you know, the seats. So the farther you get down, the more velocity is probably going to be happening. And I think they need to be, nets need to be a little bit taller too. I mean, even at Target Field, I think they need to be just a little bit taller above the dugouts and down the line, just because, you know, balls are, they're coming in pretty hard.
Yep.
Even if you're paying attention, it's not easy to make a play or just get, you know, try to deflect it to save your kid or whoever it may be. Even when you're paying attention, those balls are coming in at a high, high velocity, and people aren't, they're not seeing those on an everyday basis. So
nobody is.
I think there needs to be, like I said, I'm right there with you.
Jake, enjoy the conversation. Best of luck to your kids. We'll talk again down the line.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Jake Odorizzi from the Twins. It's 12:52 right here on the home of the Twins, WCCO. All right, we both saw this today, the Slurpee. Okay, when you think 7-Eleven, you think Slurpee right away.
Of course, it's synonymous.
It's it. So that's worked, right?
Yeah.
Excellent
branding.
They are now launching a service that lets a customer order the Slurpee or anything else at the store and delivered to a public place like a park or a beach. So obviously we've had delivery of you name it.
Pizzas, but was, you know, to the beach. Remember that Domino's had a big thing there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Or just Amazon, anything we want to our homes.
Yeah.
What is, because this is fast food like, right?
Yes. Don't,
you know, it's a cousin. What is the fast food item you most want delivered to a public park or beach? Text me 651-989-9226 or another, you know, if Super America. No, wait, do we call it Speedway now?
Speedway.
Speedway.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Okay. The Frosty from Wendy's. If it's, I want it thick.
Sure.
I don't want
it
to melt.
Which would be difficult to do.
Yeah, well, that's you know what? That's on them.
100%.
That's on them. Okay? Maybe even the onion rings.
See, to me, I think, beverage far and away, different beverage types, whether it's a Slurpee, whether it's the Wendy's, whatever.
Yeah.
But that would, if you're out at the beach or wherever and you're out and it's warm, that's what you're always, I don't know that I'm thinking about food in those situations too much, but something to drink of a specific kind, whatever you're craving.
I guarantee you there's others who want food. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. I'm just saying for me personally. Plus, drone.
You don't want a person.
I don't need more people in my life. I just want, give me the drone.
Man, I really likes talking to people. What's the food, the drink, whatever, delivered to you? 651-989-9226.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.